And welcome to the Cerro Tech Town Hall meeting. It's our first fully public event, certainly not the first town hall meeting that we've ever had, but the first we are sending out to the world at large. My name is Michael Loff, and joining me is CEO of Cerro Tech Corporation, Mr. Mike Calvo.
Yes. Interesting world we live in, isn't it, Mike?
It's a very interesting world, Mike.
Well, I was just watching the news earlier. It's really sad to see all the things that are going on. But it reminded me of just how connected we really are these days and how we've been able to get people connected at Cerro Tech. We've got people tonight on Twitter monitoring what people are tweeting about it. It'll be interesting to see that. We've seen posts on Facebook. We've got people joining us in the chat room on SamNet Radio, on the Accessible event. I mean, we've just got people connected everywhere. And boy, it's just exciting to be able to be a part of that.
Especially when you consider that technology changes so rapidly. There are things we're doing today that we weren't doing as little as 2 and 3 months ago.
Right.
So it brings up the question that many people ask because there seems to be confusion. You know, when you make multiple products and there's word of mouth going on, and many people just come back and ask, Mike, who is Cerro Tech?
Well, Michael, I'm glad you asked. First of all, people say, well, why Cerro? Because what does that mean? You know, we know what the tech means. Well, Cerro means connected. And really, that's what we're all about, is connecting people, connected technology. And what that means is that Cerro Tech is all about community. Technology that gives people the opportunity to communicate, to interact, to share experiences, to really be able to not just go out and join a support group, but really interact on a personal level and get to know each other and also be able to get the kind of information that's necessary. If I don't know how to do something, I know I can just go on the SAMNet and talk to somebody who has done that. Or if I'm newly visually impaired, I can reach out and be part of a group of people that I don't have to worry if they're looking at me, if I'm making funny looks or whatever. And I don't even have to leave the house. I can stay right at home. I can connect on my computer and I can economically communicate with other people.
And of course, you have the whole concept of community. And many people just don't understand what that means.
Well, community is really just, it's all about that. When I grew up, I grew up as kind of a solo blind guy, right? You know, it was kind of the lone blind ranger. Can you imagine me on a horse? It was just a matter of the blind people that I met at the time were not the kind of person I wanted to grow up to be, the one or two of them. And then everything else, I just felt, wow, I never had a mentor. I never had any of that stuff. Now, thanks to the power of technology, the power of a great developer in Matt Campbell and the team he works with, it's been a great opportunity to create this online place where there is no barrier anymore. We have mentors. We have other people that we can tell the story to and that can tell us their stories and we can share. And that's really what community means to me. It's all about communicating with one another, all about being connected.
But maybe because of its beginning, Cerro Tech is perceived as a screen reading company, but that's really not an accurate definition, is it?
Oh, no. Actually, we needed a screen reader at the time because we've always been a web services company, Michael, since we started way back, and I'm going to use the F word, we were the Freedom Box Network. And when we started with that, you know, we realized that, wow, this internet is a very powerful thing. And it's going to be everywhere. And sure enough, today the internet is all over the place on all different platforms. But at the time, while the internet was growing up and all these applications were what they call getting on the cloud, there was kind of this hybrid where you had some stuff on the computer, some stuff on the internet, and we wanted to be able to leverage those two together. And darn it, but the lowest cost screen reader at the time was $995. I mean, there was one that same company created that would limp right along and kind of give you this access, but it really didn't do the same thing the big one did. We decided, well, we are going to create something that's going to be economical, it's going to be easy to use, it's going to be easy to train, and at this point, we did it. We've got a screen reader that at its very minimum is free through sa2go.com. And it's not only is it free, but it is it can also be leased on various packages for as little as $9.95 a month, depending on what bells and whistles you add and all that good stuff. It really is not our main goal, but it's something that, quite honestly, we've been pretty excited about. But, you know, I think that screen reader era is coming to a close. When you look at iOS and you look at the Apple OS, the operating system on Mac. You look at their built-in screen readers, and I'm sure that sooner or later Microsoft is going to get its act together and incorporate one into Windows. Now with the latest efforts in accessibility for Android, I would tell you that the days of the screen reader, any company that's focusing on the screen reader as its future is simply rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. I mean, that's going to go.
Well, Mike, a lot of people use the term cloud. It's become ubiquitous and often confusing to many people. So why don't you explain what the cloud means and where we fit into the cloud?
Well, the cloud is just that, is the internet. It's I don't want to go into all the technical aspects of it, but when you hear people talk about the cloud, what they really mean is the internet. And when they talk about a cloud-based or a web-based application, it's an application that is not locally installed. It's something that you can go to a web page and use while you're on that web page. And when you close that web page, it's all gone and it's no longer on that computer. And it's in essence back in the cloud. Of course, we don't put stuff back in the cloud. It just goes away. But that's how things like DSP or DocuScan Plus, which is our latest cloud application, it works. You can go to DocuScanPlus.com and press a couple of keystrokes and immediately have an accessible scanning solution on a computer that never had it installed. And when you're finished using it, you simply close the web page, and guess what? It's gone. None of your information is there. But you were able to still leverage the power of that accessibility solution right there. If you have a camera like the ones that we're selling, or if you have a plug-and-play scanner, or if even there's an existing scanner on it, it'll leverage those technologies and use them with the cloud-based scanning solution and give you the ability to not only scan your document, but then you can put it into different formats. You can send it to an Amazon Kindle. You can send it to your email. You can send it to your BookSense or your Bookport or your VictorStream or any of a number of other products. And very, very, very soon, we've been demonstrating it at the conferences this year, we will have it available for Mac. So our goal is, of course, to be able to provide cloud access on all platforms. If you can access the internet on all platforms, well, why shouldn't you be able to access our accessible solutions on all platforms?
So we have a question asking very specifically if you'll think you'll make use of the tool that was done for crowdsourcing and creation of DocuScan Plus through the input of many people, if that will port itself over to system access in future development.
I think that we didn't use really a tool, the crowdsourcing tool per se. Pete Bosley is actually the community volunteer that headed up that project. And DSP was actually headed up by a volunteer, and he worked with a group of people in the community and our development team to develop this product. And I think he did a great job. So it's not necessarily a tool. I mean, I guess if there's any crowdsourcing tool at all, it would be the SAMNet. And the answer, of course, is yes. We always intend to have feedback from our community on what they want. That's what's driven this company. It's not been government subsidies. It's not been educational purchases. It's been you, the consumer, that has kept this company alive for 9 going on 10 years. It's amazing to me to realize that we have been around for that long.
Okay, so you mentioned here DSP coming from the Mac, and we did demo it at CSUN this year, but the release candidate is coming, and would you like to explain kind of what that means to our users, especially those who own Macintosh computers?
Well, it just means that if you already own a copy of DocuScan Plus, you're going to go ahead and be able to install it on your Mac absolutely free. We aren't going to charge separately for any platform. We made that commitment early on in the cycle. We just said, you know what, if you buy a license to DocuScan Plus, you're going to be able to get it. When we put out the platform, you're going to be able to use it. So it's not like you're going to have, oh, there's a version for Windows, I got to buy that. Oh, there's a version for Mac, I got to buy that. Oh, there's a version for, you know, for iOS, I got to buy that. There's a version for Android, I got to buy that. No, no, no. Once you buy one version, that's it. And because what you're really doing, folks, is you're buying access to the cloud service, and all these clients are, is just a way, it's kind of a ramp onto the cloud service, or a way of a vehicle to get you onto the cloud service. So as we roll out platforms and I've named a few that we intend to roll out this year. You know, we really are going to be able to give you accessibility anywhere.
That is true. And, you know, you mentioned iDevices, and we're going to go down this road here a little bit because, you know, we brought iBlink Radio into the fray, and it has thousands of people using that technology. And, of course, people are curious, you know, where else we may be going in that space and trying to understand, you know, why we're also talking about Android. People seem to want to take sides on the matter, but let's start with iOS devices and kind of what you see happening in that space.
Well, let me begin by again, as I've done a number of times, Michael, publicly acknowledging and really applauding what Apple has led the industry, the mainstream industry, in doing, in dedicating themselves to make a completely accessible format, a platform, set of platforms. And when I say a platform, yes, there are a number of Apple devices, but they all communicate back to iTunes and, you know, and Mobile Me and all of that. Apple kind of dipped its toe in the water with the Nano. We responded with much prompting, I would add, from Serotech and from Serotalk to purchase this product, to show your economic viability. Apple then responded with putting out another version of the Nano, which even did better. The same time that year, they put accessibility into the iPhone and the iPod Touch. More purchases from the blind community. Then when the iPad was released, same thing. Throughout this whole process, Apple led the way by putting VoiceOver on its Mac computers absolutely free of charge. This is a company that has received such little recognition, in my opinion. I mean, there should be awards hanging all over the walls at over in Cupertino for what Apple has done for our community as far as accessibility. Do I believe that Apple should be rewarded? Absolutely. Are they the only player in town? Not anymore. Do we believe that Apple should be the only player in town? Heck no. In fact, hell no. They shouldn't be the only player in town, because we've seen what happens in any corporate group when any corporate group becomes the leader and nobody else follows. You know, we need competition. We need healthy competition. And let me tell you something, people. AT is not a religion. Adaptive technology is not a religion. This is not a doctrinal, divisional type of thing. Android works for some now, thanks to Code Factory, and iOS works for many others, thanks to Apple. And hopefully, Microsoft will get its head out of its behind and do something about Windows Phone 7. I don't have a lot of hopes for that. I've heard a whole lot of lip service, as have many others in the community. But hey, you know, we still hope that our friends in Redmond will finally pick up the tail, as they've done with Windows Phone 7 in the mainstream, and hopefully deliver to us an accessible solution. But I'm not real hopeful about that, especially considering what they just did with Nokia. But I digress. Sorry.
Well, many people ask, what's next? DSP for iOS devices. And of course, we were showing something last summer, but unfortunately, there are some limitations with the cameras and the iOS devices. So would you like to address that?
Well, you know, the problem that I think that we're having is, you know, some people really take a word from the CEO, you know, as this kind of a promise. We, like any other company, want to provide great innovative products. Unfortunately, many companies pander to the needs of their marketing group and say, well, if it's going to come out on this day, come hell or high water, even if it's feature short, we're going to put it out. That's not the way this company's run. We don't do that. If a product isn't ready for prime time, folks, you're not going to get it. At the end of the day, I don't know of anyone who will live or die by a product that Serotech hasn't released yet. So, and if you do, I'm really sorry. Please don't ever dedicate your entire existence on a product that hasn't been released yet. And I think that that's really what's been happening with DocuScan Plus and a couple of other things that we've promised on the iOS platform. There are a number of reasons why we haven't released a couple of products on the iOS platform. DSP is one of them. We're still not getting a good picture from the camera. I'll be very interested in seeing any company that has 100% success with the iOS platform and the camera in its current state taking a picture of a document. It's just not working well. And why am I going to put out a half-baked piece of garbage? I'm just not going to do it. Somebody else wants to charge you $20 for a half-baked piece of garbage. That's their problem. We're not going to do that. And by the way, when it comes out, we're not going to charge you for it. We're going to give it to you absolutely free, just like we said before with the Macintosh platform. So we are diligently working, trying to perfect this technology as best we can within the constraints that Apple gives us. But, you know, it could be a month or two. It could be by this summer. We certainly anticipate that DSP for the iOS platform will be released, and hopefully DSP for Android at some point this year. That's not a promise. That's what we're looking to do.
And a great segue, because we looked at Android. We kind of backed off due to some limitations. And, of course, now Code Factory has kind of reinvented themselves and come out with mobile accessibility.
Boy, talk about a phoenix coming up from the ashes, man. Let me tell you, people, I have so much respect for my friend Edward Sanchez at Code Factory, and the way that man who is sighted has dedicated his life to making life better for blind folk, not because it's the right thing to do. I've had an opportunity to talk to Edward a number of times and to ask him, so what motivates you, dude? And he told me, he said, you know what? I think blind people are a great market, and it's proven that way. Can you imagine the surprise from this poor man after serving the needs of thousands of blind people worldwide on mobile devices, being one of the premier technologies that many of us, dozens of us, hundreds, thousands of us have carried in our pockets. You know, was told, oh, Windows Mobile is going bye-bye. And by the way, a couple months later, we just cut a deal with Nokia, and so is Symbian. You know, here's a company that is truly, truly, truly a phoenix coming up from the ashes and saying, here we go. What are we going to do? And they took the trash that Google called Android and made it into the treasure that is now mobile accessibility. And that is amazing. I applaud you publicly. Great work. Great work, Code Factory. And a great price, too. If you can go out there, if you're running an Android phone, then buy it. If you've looked at Android and been discouraged by the dismal work that Google's done in their TalkBack product, before this version, by the way, because they actually made some much needed and much anticipated improvements, but still no accessible web access, etc. Take a look at it again. You'll be very surprised at what the folks over at Code Factory have been able to do.
The problem that I think that we are seeing, at least within Serotech, is that people are trying to compare Android and iOS, and they really take totally different approaches. And why don't you explain that and maybe some of the benefits of each? Because it's people seem to want to choose one or the other. It's like the old screen reader wars. They have to choose one and not realize that we need multiple tools in our toolbox.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, excuse me. The thing is, Michael, that many of us, of course, you know, our blind folks are very zealous. We're very, very zealous people, and we like to make our point direct. You know what I'm saying? So it really comes down to, okay, this is what I use. And you suck if you don't use what I use, you know, and that's not true. The thing is that it's different strokes for different folks. Look, iOS is wonderful, okay? I actually have been using the iPhone since it was released at the 3GS. This week, drum roll please, I actually put my iPhone down and exchanged it for a Sprint Epic 4G. Let me tell you, my iPad still has its loving place right here that I use for entertainment. I'm using it for other things that we're going to be announcing later this year, having to do with music and some other things. And also my iPod Nano. I listen to it every day. That's what I use for books. I don't use a book port. I don't use a Victor Reader Stream. I don't use any of that stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with that stuff. I've been able to get away with using the mainstream alternatives. Android, on the other hand, is different, and I'll explain. iOS is very, very simple. What you see is what you get. You plug it in, it works, everything talks to one another. If you're not a tinkerer, if you're not the kind of person that wants to make something sing and dance exactly the way they want, hey, Apple is going to give you a very, very good solution. I suggest you get all the Apple stuff, the Apple TV, the iPad, the iPods, the Mac computer, everything, and you plug them all in, you connect them to your home wireless network, and by the way, you can use one of their routers too, and everything will talk, and you won't have to worry about a thing. Now, if you like getting under the hood, tinkering with stuff, catering your experience exactly the way you want it to be. Use Android. The one thing that Google as a company did is create Android, which is a very modular operating system that can be put into everything from home appliances to televisions to phones to all kinds of different stuff. The fact that Google accessibility has not been very forthcoming with the community informationally, has not been very forthcoming with asking us for our opinion on things, that's a different story. That shouldn't reflect on Google overall as a company. The Android operating system is amazing. And in the next few minutes, I'll be telling you why it's so amazing. I did a tweet a while back that I know that people are wondering what that means, and we'll address that in just a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to ask you that now, actually, because on Twitter, you made a statement that sparked a little debate, basically saying that Android is the light, but not Google. What did you mean by that?
Well, the thing is that what Google did, see, people have a misunderstanding of Google. People think that Google's customer is us. We are not Google's customer. We are Google's product. Why? Well, Google's customer is the advertiser. And what that advertiser does is they study the habits of us, the customers, their customers, consumer, and they give it back to their customer and say, well, this is what they're looking for. This is where they're going. This is what they're doing. Google figured, well, you know, the best way to do that is to become the operating system that's inside all this stuff. And we give it away for free. And then we give these people the opportunity to make that stuff connect back to whatever servers they want, and we provide them services that will allow them to get demographic information and all kinds of good stuff on their consumer. And that's exactly what is in Android and Gmail and everything else. Google's not just, you know, giving you free stuff just to give it to you. They get something out of it too. They get a lot of information. And let me tell you, if you're worried about privacy, the reality is, folks, there's very little privacy anymore. You know, I mean, and quite honestly, I mean, the things that you need to keep private, you can. You know, if you're doing something underhanded, chances are nowadays you'll be caught. But, you know, and the people that worry about serious privacy issues, for the most part, are people that, you know, have something to hide. Normal passwords and 128-bit encryption and stuff work for me, and they should work for most people, and that's what the internet provides you. I don't have any problem with keeping my stuff out on the cloud or whatever. I've never heard of anybody's all their personal information, a credit card information here or there from a company that got hacked, okay, but all your personal information all in one shot, I don't think so. But I digress. The thing with Google is that they did do this operating system, and because it's open source, that operating system can be tinkered with by others. So what some great folks at the Cyanogenwebsite did was they created an alternative ROM, or an alternative piece of software that you can install on a number of mainstream cell phones that you can pick up from a bunch of carriers. And they have agreed to incorporate accessibility into this ROM. So Serotech, along with some others, have agreed to provide that layer of accessibility into that release, that when a blind person goes and buys a phone with a couple of clicks of the mouse and perhaps maybe a little bit of a sighted assistance to get rolling, they can actually build an Android phone that will work for them, that will be accessible, and will not be dependent on the work of the Google accessibility team. And by the way, because it is open source, the Google accessibility team will be welcome to take the bits and pieces of accessibility that we as a community put into this community-driven, community-oriented alternative ROM. And when they find it, you know, when they find it in their hearts, give it to the rest of the people, they can do so because it's open source and it's free for them to do that.
So
does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense to me. But if people blame Google, and really it's the marketplace. It's the Android marketplace that builds based on the need and their perceptions of the market and just kind of use their need, build it, and they will come.
Well, I mean, Google, the problem I think that Google has with its accessibility issues is with the accessibility initiative is, first of all, the person that they have leading accessibility. There's no doubt that the leader is a very well-studied individual. doesn't have great personal skills, and that's not a criticism. It's just an observation based on not only personal experience but watching how this individual communicates with people in our community. Everybody feels that the individual in charge of accessibility at Google is quite abrasive. And really believes that he has all the answers and doesn't reach out to anyone in this community to find out what they think. And at the end of the day, it just goes to show that we're not the consumer. We're not Google's customer. They don't give a darn on the accessibility side what we have to think. They'll give us what we want, what they want in accessibility, and we'll like it because they know what we want. And that's not the way it goes. Unlike Apple. Apple, you can write to them, you can ask them for information, and they will respond. Now, Google is getting better. We actually saw them at CSUN this year. Don't know what they did at CSUN, don't know who they spoke to. Serotalk wasn't invited. You know, we weren't invited, we weren't told, and we still haven't seen anything going on. And I would submit that we're a pretty prominent leader in this community, but hey, you know, maybe I'm just mad because I'm on the outside, maybe. Maybe.
Who
knows?
Mike, I want you to – we talked earlier about mobile accessibility, but some folks have really slammed a very innovative solution and called it Blind Ghetto.
Oh, boy. Well, Blind Ghetto is a very interesting term. I'll tell you, you know, a Blind Ghetto product to me – And in the term that I use, and a lot of people go, well, what does that mean? You know, ghettos not only keep people out, but keep people in. Mobile accessibility is basically a product that provides an alternative method of getting at things on your Android phone. It's kind of like putting a new desktop on your Windows machine. Do I believe Google should do that? Well, they have done it in this convoluted, twisted way that nobody understood. Those that follow me on Twitter read the quite funny and hilarious posts sometimes that I wrote about Twitter and about Android, including offering anyone at the company who ever saw me talk about Twitter again, who saw me talk about Android again, to come to my house and slap me twice. and of course, I've had to eat those words because of the work that my friend Edward has done. Okay. It's an amazing piece of work, and he really did put a lot of lipstick on that pig and made it work well. And if Edward were trying to charge $3,000 for that, and he didn't want you to do anything but access his applications on the Android platform, then yes, it would be Blind Ghetto. But no, he charges a very fair price. I believe it's like 65 or 69 euros or something like that. It just came out today. I haven't bought my copy yet. I'll be buying it in the next few hours or something, or tomorrow or something. But he also gives you access to, you know, other applications on your phone. And if they happen to be accessible, well, hallelujah. If not, you have the opportunity as a consumer of that application to write to the writer of that application and say, hey, can you make it accessible? And there Google has kind of hit a home run where they've provided a number of tools for developers to be able to make their applications accessible. Amazing to me how Google hasn't used their own tools to make their own front end comprehensively accessible. I guess the right way to say it would be. And it took another third party to do that. But again, you know, talking out of both sides of my mouth, I guess, you know, that's the beauty of Android, is that it is open source and people can leverage it. Open source doesn't always mean free, meaning free like free beer. It means free that you can look at the code, and if you're a geek that's so inclined, you can modify that code, as Edward did, to work to his advantage and to provide a better experience for his consumer, and then he can sell it. And that's exactly what is the difference between a Blind Ghetto product and a product that works for blind people but happens to also, you know, accomplish what the mainstream is accomplishing.
Yeah, before this event, we encouraged people to send their questions to CEO at Serotech.com, and one of them was, more than one, asked if System Access would be available on Android.
No, I think it's pretty fair to say that as of this presentation, the screen reader gig is something that we are watching slowly but surely, and maybe even a little quicker but surely, coming to a head. As I said earlier, I think any company that's focusing its future on a screen reader as its economic basis or as the way of making money is rearranging a chair on the Titanic. I do believe that ultimately we're going to see a screen reader available on just about every platform, whether it be through a third party on Android. You have Spiel, which is a great product, and it's free. And I've had occasion to talk to its developer, and I believe he intends it to remain free. And you have TalkBack, of course, which is Google's demonstration of what accessibility might can do on their platform. Then, of course, you've got Apple that has included a free screen reader. And what disappoints me, by the way, Michael, is the fact that now our entitlement-oriented community feels that everybody needs to make a free screen reader. And that's not the way it goes, people. Apple decided to do it. So if you like the free screen reader, by all means, get the Apple product. But if we're gonna say that Apple that everybody else needs to do it, then we should lobby as hard against Microsoft and everybody else before we start throwing rocks at Google and say, well, they should do it, you know, this they should do it better and this and that and the other. Listen, you know, there are everybody's got a different business model. And that welcome to the world of being a consumer. If you don't like it, don't buy it. It's that simple. Nobody's going to hate you for it.
It's amazing because many people, if something doesn't come out, launch out of the box, is fully accessible, they want to criticize it and put it down and say totally
can
ignore
it. Can anyone say Kindle? Anyone say Kindle?
Exactly. And we took a lot of heat, especially you, for being very forthright about wanting to work with Amazon on that.
Well, everybody, you know, look, every community has early adopters. And early adopters, can anyone say Google TV, for example, okay, or the Boxy Box, or there's a number of products out there that have not gained huge amounts of traction, but in the mainstream, you know, have the early adopters have bought this product and reported to the community, this is great about it, this stinks about it, and has reported back to the company as well. I encourage our community to do the same. I'm not saying everybody should go out and buy a Kindle because they put in a form of accessibility. But if you can get your hands on a Kindle at a store, if you can buy it for a 30-day demonstration from them and return it within 30 days because it didn't work for you or whatever, hey, do it. Give them back your comments. Say, I bought your product. It didn't work for me, but it didn't work for me because of this reason, this reason, this reason. And this is what I think that you should do to make it work better. That's what we did at Serotech. We bought a Kindle. We demonstrated it. We wrote a 10-page article, not only talking about the problems, but our suggested solutions. And let me tell you, on a personal note, a family member of mine is going through a situation that is life-changing. They were just diagnosed with an illness that is going to change their lives forever. I couldn't find any information about that illness on anywhere except for on Amazon through the Amazon Kindle. And let me tell you, you know, just that little bit of accessibility in the Amazon Kindle allowed me to read at least two or three books on the subject. So I was able to comfort that person. So I was able to understand what that person was dealing with. And it really, for me, it made my day. Do I think that it could get better? Of course. And let me tell you, being an Amazon customer for a very happy Amazon customer for the last 10 years, I believe that they will ultimately do it. But what they need is they need the community to stand up and say, that a boy, great job so far, but it needs to be more. Not a bunch of ticked off blind people that got chips on their shoulders saying, well, I'm not going to do it unless they do this. And I'm you know what? They don't need to pay for everybody else's last mistakes. You know, it's just, you know, I let me tell you, and I'll tell you from experience, I tried doing that for 28 years, getting angry at people that didn't understand my needs. And it never worked. You know what? I've been able to accomplish more in the last 10 years. Not that I'm 38, but in the last 12 years or so since I started realizing that if we just stop and explain in a nice way what we need and not be angry, but write it out and say, we'll buy this if it does this. You know what? People actually listen and people actually make a difference. And that's why I think we've been able to get to where we've been able to get to at Serotech as far as, you know, getting people online, getting people connected and getting mainstream companies to listen.
You know, Mike, there are some that are tuned in with no other objective than to find out what you see as the future for Serotech. But maybe a better question for people to understand your philosophy is, where do you see the future of the whole AT industry?
Boy, the... If it were up to me, Michael, the AT industry would end tomorrow, just because I believe that universal design is the answer to everything. And I believe that there's some mainstream cases for universal design. We've got so much fragmentation of platforms right now. We've got Android, we've got Windows Phone 7, we've got WebOS, we've got iOS, we've got Android, we've got Windows, we've got Macintosh, we've got Linux, and different versions of all of these different things. That there needs to be a universal standard for development so that organizations, so that companies can roll out or deploy software services that will actually work on all these platforms. So universal design needs to be incorporated, if for no other reason, so that you can write it once and deploy on many. Now, if we employ accessibility at the core of that universal design, instead of bolting it on later, which is what all of us have done, what Serotech has done, what Freedom Scientific's done, what GW Micro's done, what everybody's done, okay, is bolt on a screen reader at the end and hope for the best. You know, hook and hack our way through and try and make it work as best we can. If we build in accessibility from the ground up, from the time that the specs are being written, and they are being rewritten every day, HTML5 is a big one. You know, that's one that's going to be a great equalizer, I think. You know, and there are others that are out there. You know, I think that we may actually see the abolishment of the AT industry. But in the meantime, I'm excited to see companies like AI Squared trying their hand at an accessible application. Companies like Bookshare putting out a product that's very economical, that works for people, and that's leveraging the power of mainstream products. People like RFB&D that are putting out products as well, that they're $20. You know how many people griped about the $20 that RFB&D was charging for their accessible client for the iPhone and the iPad and the iPod? I was amazed by it. I was saddened by it, actually. If you can't take out $20 out of your pocket for people that volunteer their time to write software for you and to read books for you, to go to school, come on, man, get a life, you know? But the reality is that we need to, you know, these are harsh words, but you know what? I'm one of you. I'm one of us, you know? And if the mainstream won't tell you, I will, because I love you guys. Okay, I've dedicated the last 10 years of my life to making a difference in this community. And by the grace of God, I think we've been able to do that. We have a great team at Serotech, and I look forward to an AT industry that is smaller, because it's not going to be as necessary, and also much more economically viable, because there's going to be more people buying the products, so they can, you know, they can divvy up the cost of a Braille display. They can divvy up the cost of magnification service systems. You know, but I think that we can't do it alone. You know, I can't, Serotech can't do it alone. Michael, you can't do it alone with Serotalk. It needs to be a community effort. So that's one thing that I would beseech everybody to do. We don't have time for 80-20 anymore, people. We need everybody to do their part. If your part is only, you know, writing a letter to somebody saying, hey, that's a great job you're doing, I can't afford your product right now, but I'll buy it later, or I'll buy it sometime. Or if it's signing up for a Serotech account and paying $9.95 a month. Or if it's just writing a letter to Apple and saying, you know, it's a great thing you guys are doing. Thank you so much. You've made a difference in my life. You know, whatever it is you do, every little bit counts, and every voice that's raised in a positive fashion. That doesn't mean that you don't have to be critical of these companies. Constructive criticism to any company, I think, is welcome. But it needs to be, they can't perceive us guys as a bunch of ticked off blind people that got chips on our shoulders, that all we're worried about is being like everybody else and driving a car. That's not what it's all about, okay? It's about equal access for everybody. And while I think that there's a lot of very important research being done about blind people driving cars, that's the future. That's not now. Right now is the phone that's in your pocket. Right now is the computer you're listening to me on. Right now is the product or service that you want that isn't accessible. But have you written a letter? Have you picked up the phone? Have you called anybody? Have you talked to us at Serotalk about it so we can start a campaign about it? I don't know. It's only you can do that.
Yeah, it's very tough, because the market does have power. And a great article recently written said that, are we going to procure jobs unless we are seen as a market. And people continue to pay over and over for technologies that maybe they don't really like, but that's all they know. How do we overcome the fear factor? I mean, I had someone right here post a question saying that, basically I'll paraphrase it because it is kind of lengthy, but he said he wanted to break away from his current solution but was afraid to do so. He finally took the plunge to explore system access and wonders now why he and others are afraid to change and try new technology.
Well, you know, you've got a couple of reasons. And of course, look, you know, the folks at Henter Joyce, the predecessors to Freedom Scientific, Ted Henter and his team did a great job, okay? Ted Henter was, and Doug Joffrey and those folks were the Serotech of that era, okay? And they did do some amazing things, and they continue to do amazing things at GW Micro. I wish I could say the same for Freedom. Freedom has decided to deal with the status quo and be the same old, and they're going to ride that ship all the way down, I guess, because they're not innovating over there. It's the devil you know in that particular case. You know, if you're using JAWS, hey, I've been using it for years and years. You know, it's what my counselor suggested. Stop listening to your counselor. Start going out there and doing your research and start learning. Read the reviews. You know, look, take a chance. Hey, if you want to use our product, you can try it for free. Imagine that, a free product for the blind. But, you know, it's just the fear factor is common for humanity. We don't like change. And of course, a blind person is more resistant because we've got that beaten person syndrome. You know, they've told us that they're going to provide us this in the past and they haven't. You know, those bad people, we're not them. We're not going to pay for their mistakes. We're going to do what we got to do. And if you believe in what we're doing, then you should join us. You know, if you don't, if you want the same old, by all means, go pay $1,195 for your next screen reader. Go continue to pay a couple hundred bucks every year to have it upgraded and, you know, to get access to the latest operating system and that kind of thing. And, you know, IE9 now is an upgrade fee and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, if that's what you want to do, man, that's entirely up to you. But take the plunge, man. The water's warm.
You know, when I came on board as full time in November of 08, we launched a project called Serotalk. And yes, it's doing well. We have very respectable numbers, and we certainly appreciate our winning the award of Blind Bargains. But, you know, we throw out a lot of good information, but really to make it happen, it's going to take input. There's so many people out there, so many other podcasts, so many other ideas, so many individual areas of expertise that many people have. But what was your vision? What is your vision? Where do you see Serotalk? What would you like to see people also bring to the mix to get, you know, we have the resources at Serotalk.com. We have the blab line and some initial participation at first. And now, you know, kind of some apathy. People just sit back and wait for us to feed them the latest information. And we're glad to do that, but also looking for greater input from the community.
Well, I think that the reality is, Michael, that, you know, we've become familiar to people. You know, the truth of the matter is that this is about community. It's not about Calvo's vision. You know, I'm just the guy that's kind of, you know, in the driver's seat right now. You know, but hey, what happens if I get hit by a truck tomorrow? Besides my guide dog not doing what he's supposed to be doing, you know, I mean, what's going to happen? Is this whole thing going to die? Is all of it going to go? You know, Serotalk is the only company, the only offering I've ever seen in the existence of the AT industry that is run by an AT company that has been giving unbiased reviews. We go out and we interview our competitors, for heaven's sakes. You know, and why is that? You know why, people? Because I'm a blind person first. Okay, before I ever put on any Serotalk hat, I'm a blind person, okay? I use this stuff. I got to live with this stuff. I got to feed my wife and kids with this stuff, okay? And I got to leave something for my wife and for my kids' kids, heaven forbid, if they're blind. I've got to leave something for them, you know? And you have to have a sense of existence and a purpose for life, too. We've got so many other fish to fry. We've got the Braille initiative. You Braille illiteracy is an all-time low. It's terrible. It's heartbreaking. Look, computers are important to the mainstream too, to sighted people, but you don't see them throwing away their pencils. You know, you don't see them throwing away their pens, because let me tell you, when the lights go dark, your computer ain't going to work. You know, so Braille is very important. You know, a lot of people are just, oh, I can just listen to it. Or really, you know, what happened to your slate and stylus? What happened to doing math on an abacus? What happened to all of these skills that we were taught in school? You know, there's a lot of advocacy efforts that can be done, and don't expect NFB and ACB to do them all for you. Why? You can get up off your behinds virtually and do it yourselves. Before, we had an excuse. There wasn't the level of communication that there is today, but we've got to keep on pushing. We've got to keep on advocating. Advocate, advocate, advocate. And when you're done advocating, have a little rest and then go advocate some more.
Mike, you mentioned that it is your dream that someday there will no longer be an AT industry. And really, the only way to make that happen, to have companies like Amazon, Google, Sony, Microsoft, and other mainstream technology companies include universal access for all in their technologies, not only for the blind, but deaf, dyslexic, and others. Do you really believe that can happen? And if so, what is it going to take to make that happen?
You know, I did a talk last year for the ACB, and the name of the talk was "Lack of Sight Doesn't Mean Lack of Vision." I'm a firm believer, Michael, that if our Creator gave us the ability to dream, then He gave us the ability to do. It would be a terrible, terrible Creator that would give us the ability to dream of something and not accomplish it. And I believe that my dream is the same dream that many people listening to this talk tonight have, and that is that a world that we can all communicate, that we can all interact, that we can all be on a level playing field. That's the dream. Now, you can't, you know, faith without works is dead. Okay. You can't just believe that dream's going to happen. You got to do something to make it happen. So the reality is that, yeah, I dream of that, but I can't do it by myself. You know, I know that other people that are listening to my voice dream of that. And guess what? You can't do it by yourself either, man. You can't do it by yourself either, lady. We all got to put our hands up and do it together. And I believe that through the power of community, through the power of us, we're going to be able to accomplish that very purpose.
Well, couldn't have said it better. Do you have any final comments? That's all as far as the questions we received. We always welcome feedback, specifically for CeroTalk at resources@cerotalk.com, or even you take direct input, CEO at CeroTech.com. But any final comments or thoughts this evening?
No, I'd just like to thank the hundreds of people listening to us on AE, and the thousands that are listening to us over on Samnet Radio and on iBlink Radio, and the people that are on the Samnet community as well, listening to us, the thousands of users there. It's amazing to me to be numbering the blind consumer in the thousands. And not only that, but to have the numbers to back it up. That's very cool. Thank you, people. Thank you, community. I really, really, really enjoy doing what I do. I wake up to do it every day, and I can't think of anything better to do but to serve you and to do whatever it is you need us to do to make our lives, not just yours, but our lives more accessible. Thank you. God bless you, and have a great night.
Okay, and Mike, you will be in the actual town hall chat room, so if you are actually a member of SAMNet, you can hang around and speak with Mike for a few minutes. Likewise, if you're listening and are not, haven't taken the plunge yet, certainly go get that free 7-day demo at www.satogo.com. That's satogo.com.